It is my honor to be able to be with you. For a couple of years now or more that you have supported us and helping us in the work in the Charleston area. And it is a thrill to finally get to meet you face to face and to be able to share with you some of the things that we, and that means including you, are doing as far as advancing the kingdom of God in this area of Charleston. If you were to travel there, you might see several landmarks like this bridge that was built, finished the year we got there, and has become quite a landmark for the Charleston area. Or it could be some of the trees that we have, the live oak trees that are amazing to observe. And of course, a lot of the women like to come to this area because of the Annabella housing and some of the old architecture and the history associated with Charleston. If you go down to that downtown area, you'll see this a familiar sight where there are carts and these carriage rides where they go through and give you history about the various things where the route may take them. Or if you're a military buff, there's an aircraft carrier. You can spend a couple of 3 days touring because it is that big. But there's a lot of things to see, and then all of a sudden, when you think you've seen it all of a sudden, here come these giant planes that are parked there at the Air Force Base, and they usually keep a little over a dozen of them there. But the work started with this couple here, and this couple, starting with the Shuklas and Nick, about 9 years ago, 9.5 years ago, and they wanted to start from scratch. And they noticed that there was such a need for evangelism to take place. And then a few months later, as they were calling me, asking me for ideas of things to do as far as evangelism, I decided, well, you know, I'd probably be able to serve the Lord better there with them. And we moved there. And there, 9/11 and 2005, there is the beginning of the church at Charleston. And so the work continues. We met from hotel to hotel to hotel, and finally we found a storefront where we moved into, and that didn't work out too well because two doors down there was a bingo parlor, and the smoke would come up over the rafters and down into there, and that was not a very good environment. So as soon as we could, we found another place in which we outgrew it, and we moved to this place where we're at this moment. We've almost outgrown it a couple of times already, and then there's been people that moved away, and so we haven't been able to move away yet, but it may be any time. So if you ever come to see us, be sure to check our website, lowcountrychurch.org, to make certain that we're meeting. But we would love for you to. The church, as you saw, began, and we started through a dial a Bible study, getting contacts and getting people to call and enroll in Bible correspondence course. We would set up a booth like this one in various locations in a farmer's market, and then there was a festival that would come once a year where literally 100,000 people would walk by. And thus contacts would come from that means, like a river of people. And it was a 3-day festival, but we would only use Friday and Saturday. And thus we would give out materials and ask people to enroll in Bible correspondence courses. And people would. First few years, we had 30 to 50 people enroll every year. And I don't know what changed, but then all of a sudden it comes up to that we get about 100 now to enroll each year on that. We would give out these cards over and over and over. They've evolved over the years, and we would give them out, and people would learn through the correspondence course. And one of the very first fruits was this family in the middle of winter. We didn't have a church building, so we just blew up a swimming pool there in our garage. I hope you can see it better than. And so it was cold. You can see the expression on his face. He's going like that. And so that's where we baptized the first two. And his wife, when she was baptized, she decided, I bet we can do something better than this. And so she sent out an ad through Craigslist or FreeCycle or something. Anybody out there willing to donate a hot tub to be able to use as a baptistry? And someone shot her a note back, and sure enough, that's what we've been using ever since. Been 128 baptized in that thing so far. And so they're in our backyard, and that's our baptistry, and it keeps the water good and warm. So even we've had to rake off this much snow off the top in order to baptize people in the tub. And so there's where most people have obeyed the gospel. Back in 2007, some 14 months into this, we'd had over 250 enroll in Bible correspondence courses. 15 of them, of the 250, finished the course. There had been over 50 of them visited by that time, and there were 14 that obeyed the gospel. And over the first 14 months, 7 of them fell away, 7 of them stayed faithful. But at that time, we were keeping about 12 Bible studies a week going on with the lost. From the festival, one of the first fruits was this couple that came by the name of Porter. They enrolled in a Bible correspondence course. They enrolled in the course. We went to see them. We studied with them. And because they were older, the studies would go slower, but still, we would study nonetheless. I think it was about 3 times we prayed, Lord, if these people are not seriously interested in the gospel, please make it obvious to us. And every single time we prayed that, the next study we'd have with them, they would be there with a whole list of questions to ask. What does God say about this? And so that was the answer. So we continued to study with them. After about several months, I would say maybe 5-6 months, they'd been married over 50 years. And she looked at her husband, Pete, and she said, Pete, in 50-something years, I have never done anything without you. We've always been a team. She said, but tonight, I'm going to obey the gospel. And so we drove up to Goose Creek about 30 minutes away, and she was baptized that night. He was a 7th-generation Methodist in the same local Methodist church. All of his family were buried in the graveyard. And so he was very well known as a JAG or a lawyer. He was very influential in the local church, the region, and even the state. Served office in the Methodist church. One night, I asked him one of the questions we asked, are you saved? He said, no, I don't think so. And so later on, when he told me about his influence, I said, how could you serve in the Methodist church like that and not even be a Christian? He said, well, they never asked me. And that's the kind of mentality many times denominations have today. It's not a matter of whether you're saved or lost. We just want your money and we want your work. Well, about 3 months after she obeyed the gospel, because after someone obeys, we continue to nurture them and build them up and try to help them to grow. About 3 months later, he looked and said, okay, I'm ready. And so that night we were at our house, and so I wasn't even going to try to talk him out of it because he had been preparing. During that time, while he was delaying, he was resigning from all of these offices that he had been legally bound to in the Methodist Church, one of the trustees, the treasurer, and all of this. And so he had been trying systematically and then also sought an opportunity to teach it to all the people in that Methodist Church. And so he put together this is even before he became a Christian himself. And he was teaching them the truth. And then that night he was baptized, and they continued to grow. This is a lady that obeyed the gospel, but it started from one of the churches here in this area. They had a lot of correspondence course students throughout the world. Well, she was one of them. And she learned enough to be able to look us up and enroll in our Bible correspondence course. Well, We don't just send them. Of course, we go see them too. And so we went to study with her, and she obeyed the gospel and is faithful to this day. She's the first one at church on Sunday morning every week. How many, I guess some of y'all know about the website Bible.ca. This means yes, this means no. No? Okay. There's a brother up in Canada that runs, it's the biggest website in the Brotherhood that I'm aware of. More visits, we're talking about multi-million visits a month. And so one of the things he has on his website is the ability to look up some saints about non-denominational Christianity and following just the truth and the whole truth. Well, this lady was searching for truth, and she went found that site and found us through that site. We went and studied with her, and she obeyed the gospel. And she, although she's elderly and suffers a lot from sickness, she is still serving the Lord. Well, it was not long after the things were rolling. We kept on trying to get a program on the radio, a live call-in question and answer program. And there was just no station that would let us on. There was only one, there was actually not many that will have live programming. But the only other station that has live programming in the area of a religious nature wouldn't let us on. And so we tried, and then there was a black gospel radio station. And I couldn't ever get anybody, I couldn't ever talk to anybody. I just called and called, and no one would ever call me back. And so one day I said to Nick, I said, Nick, do you suppose that it's because that I'm white? And he said, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I get off work, I'm going to go to that station. I know where it's at. And I'm going to park myself there until someone talks to me. Which he did. Which they did. Which they had an hour slot available. Which we took. And it was on Sunday afternoon. And thus we've been on that station ever since. Now the station has offered us an hour and a half. Oh, there it is. An hour and a half every Sunday. Actually, they've offered us 2 hours every Sunday now, because that station is one of like 8 or 9 stations in this one corporation. And it's the most profitable station of all the stations. And we're the number one program on that station. There are more response to our hour and a half than any other program they offer during the week. And so they are happy for us to be on there. And there's the details. And you can tune in. If you have a smartphone, you can go to iTunes, or you can go to the website and tune right in, even this afternoon from the time here, 12:30 till 2 o'clock. And so you're welcome to join in, and you can call in questions as well. But it's a live program. And so then we started advertising both the Dial a Bible Study and the Let the Bible Speak. And so then one of the very first fruits from that effort, the radio program, was this man by the name of Laron. And he had been full of the world, but it was killing him. He was very, very, you know, I just can't see the white of your eyes, so if you don't mind, I'm going to come down here. He was so interested in serving the Lord because he had hit the bottom. Everything he tried in this life, in his home, it was just going bad. And so he had a bar and had all kind of, and he was in the Navy, and just like somebody you think was in the Navy. And so it just, the world was just not treating, it was not going well for him. And so he thought, well, let me try God. And so he found just right after that, he found the radio program. He enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course. And one of his first prayers to God was, Lord, help me to get everybody in my family to heaven. So he first worked on his daughter, and she obeyed the gospel. Then his son, and he obeyed the gospel. Then of all things, he's the one that had committed infidelity, but that didn't stop him from trying to teach his ex-wife. And she obeyed the gospel. Then another young man in college was primed from a long line of AME preachers that he was going to be the next great one. And he had just finished college. And so he found the radio program, enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course, studied with him. He obeyed the gospel. You'll hear him on the radio this afternoon if you tune in. Now he has already committed hundreds of passages of Scripture to memory. And now we are asking him, where does the Bible say this? And oh, that's in, and he's got it. And he is quite a Bible student and started seeking after God. And Chuck is just doing remarkably well. Another that to obey the gospel by the name of Gail. She had tough life. Everybody you see on the screen, I'm going to just let you know, they all started from the bottom. Everything was just going wrong in their life. And so that caused them to look up, and there God helped them to find the truth. So I won't keep repeating that. But Gail was one of those. She is one of the sweetest hearted people you'll ever meet. There was a young man who was searching after God. He doesn't look too young, but he actually is young. And he was searching after God, and he was going from church to church to church to try and find someone that wanted to go just by the Bible, and he just could not find it. He found the radio program. He enrolled in the course. It was Nick that actually went study with him, and he obeyed the gospel. Then a few weeks later, his wife obeyed the gospel, and so they continue to serve the Lord. He actually is a policeman, and he runs a boys' club. So he started with himself, and then his wife, then his brother, then his aunt, then her children, then his sister, and then his... And it goes on and on and on and on. Now, most of them have fallen away. Of the 128, we are only keeping about one-third to one-half of them faithfully serving the Lord, because we do not have mature Christians to nurture and build them up. And so it's very difficult for us to keep them in good standing with the Lord. But nevertheless, these two, they continue to serve the Lord. The boys' club where he started, they started with about a dozen boys. And now he has over 100 boys in that boys' club, and he's teaching them the Bible every single time they get together. Peter was another one that obeyed the gospel. These are your children, by the way. You are part of this. Because of your fellowship, we are in this together. And these are your children. These are as much as I have an influence, y'all have an influence as well. And we should look at it that way. Milton here. He was in prison for drugs, both use and selling, all kind of things. And he figured out, well, this just isn't working too well for me. And so he decided to start seeking after God. He enrolled in a Bible correspondence course. He took it in the prison, and it wasn't even us that sent it to him. It was some institutional group, and he decided, I want to be baptized. Well, they pulled some strings, and they took him out of prison to baptize him, and then took him back to prison. Well, before that, he had escaped from prison three times. Three times. And he decided, that's just not going to work. So that's when he started pursuing after God. He obeyed the gospel. And his life turned around so much, the warden told him. Said, Milton, if you got out, do you think you could get a job and turn things around? He said, oh, yeah, I'm certain of it. He said, well, go pack your stuff. Let me see what I can do. And sure enough, in a short time, he was kicked out of prison. He would not even go back to his wife, wouldn't go back to anybody but his mother, and he got a job. He did not want to let anybody know he was out of prison, because he didn't want that gang that he had run with know anything about it, because he was going to serve the Lord. And so finally, his wife saw him one day at a gas station. She said, that's my husband. And so she went and found where he was and brought him home, but he said, no. Not unless you too are going to seek after God and serve Him. She said, well, I'm on board for that. And so then they started going from church to church to try and find a church that would follow the truth. Could not find any of them. And one day on the way home, they found a radio program. And they said, they're teaching the truth. Let the Bible speak. And so they live about an hour away from where we meet. And so they would spend, because the program is an hour and a half long, they decided they'll just listen to this radio program every Sunday afternoon and poke along till they get home, because by the time they get home, they couldn't pick up the radio station. And so they did this, I don't know how long, but eventually he found a tree that if he parked under a tree, he could still pick up the radio station. And they would finish out the program there underneath that tree on Sunday afternoon. Then they finally decided, well, let's find out where these folks meet. So they called and they found out and they drove up and met with us. We started to ask them for a Bible study. We went down and Martha obeyed the God. And she's just as happy as she looks right there. Both of them are. And they are just solid as a rock. And he's now teaching the Bible. All the men in the congregation, they're teaching. They're actually involved in teaching others as well. We really do try to carry out what God wants of us and for us all to be teaching God's Word. To this date, right before I came, it's already out of date already, about over 3,500 have enrolled in the course. 10 to 20 calls come in from the radio program every week. You can tune in today and listen. We get from 20 to 30 calls daily in the Dial a Bible Study. There are about 8 to 15 new Bible students that enroll every week. There are 20 to 25 personal Bible studies that go on every week. I try to keep from 10 to 15 going on myself. And then there is about 128 that have obeyed. That's 129 because somebody's obeyed the gospel since we've been gone. And so thus it's out of date. Over a dozen of these have moved away. Probably closer to two dozen have moved away. However, as exciting, as wonderful, as thrilling as this sounds, if you read my reports, you know that it is not necessarily all glory. There are numerous people that just do not make it. They may obey the gospel, but so many fall away. It is heartrending. I can't even look at it because the many hours, the many connections of the people that have obeyed and fall away, it tears my heart up. It is a very sad thing, but this is part of it. There's going to be the thorny soil. There's going to be the rocky soil. There's going to be the wayside soil. And for all those pictures, these is just people that have been baptized. There's 10 times that many we've studied with and have rejected the gospel. And so it is hard work to evangelize. It is hard, hard work. And so with all these that fall away, but then there are those that stick it out. And they grow, they serve the Lord. As I mentioned, Ricardo, that there's now over 100 boys that he teaches the Bible to each month. Laboring continues to teach the Word of God from place to place. Told you about Milton. He actually now also not only meets and teaches the Bible to lost folks, weekly he meets with people that are on drugs and trying to get off drugs and to encourage them that they can do that. He also, in the process, teaches them about God. Pete is involved with Bible studies every week. He takes care of them all in his city. I may get them all started, but turn them over to him while I'm gone. He's studying with someone as well. And then sometimes there are those who are elderly that they will obey the gospel. Frances, she's 83 years old, 84, and she is just a sweetheart, and she's teaching the Bible. She goes to a nursing home and teaches the Word of God there. She did that even before she became the Christian, but now she is doing it telling and teaching the whole truth. Rose here, still a question mark on her, but she was the main evangelist in a AME church. And even as we were studying, she was already putting in her resignation and resigning from things in the AME church and that she was involved with. But she obeyed the gospel. We'll see if she will stick it out. Sometimes, and this is, a lot of times we like to label folks. Well, we better not study with these folks, or we might not ask them for a Bible study because they're living together. You know, there's other terms that people describe that as. And you know, we better not fool with them, because they can't obey the gospel because they're living together. You ever thought that? Well, this couple, they were living together and not married, and so we went and studied with them. What we've got to always remember is the Lord is the one that gives the increase. What He expects us to do is to just sow the seed. For example, the pizza delivery guy. Oh, we may give him a token of appreciation when he delivers the pizza. But did he make the pizza? I mean, is he the one that makes it taste good? No, he's just the delivery guy. And he brings it to you, and if it's hot, you know, you give him a tip or something. But we don't even deserve that. We are just delivery people. We deliver the gospel. God is the one that will bring the increase. And so no matter who it is, we cannot predetermine who is going to be a good Christian and who's not going to be a good Christian. Who in here would have thought Milton, a convict who had escaped from prison three times, had been a crackhead and a drug pusher, would have ever been a great child of God? So what I've learned, and hopefully y'all as well have already learned this, and that is, we can't choose. God is the one that gives the increase. Our role is exclusively nothing but to be delivery boys, to messenger boys, messenger people. We just deliver a message. In order to emphasize this, sometimes I keep an old black rotary dial telephone. For y'all younger people, that's a phone that's got a dial and you spin it around. It ain't no smartphone. You know, it's the kind of phone that you can run over with a Mack truck and it wouldn't even hurt it. I mean, it's that, and it you know, you bang it down or and it rings. And that's all we are. It is just a tool for God to communicate through the message to the heart of the people. And it either strikes their heart or not. It is not our choice. Now, can we get in the way of it? Yes. Are we supposed to adorn the gospel of Christ? Absolutely. But we cannot prejudge. Here, this couple, they I just studied with them, and it came down to talking about repentance. I said, now, I bet y'all wondering what some of the things you might need to repent of. Well, I go to Ephesians 4, and I define the word adultery and fornication. I said, y'all understand that? Oh, yeah, yeah. We go on. They didn't get it. So we go on, we keep on studying, and so it came down to discussing repentance again. I said, okay, I guess you probably know what fornication is. Yeah. And I said, well, it means, and I had to go over that three times before they ever made the connection, oh, we're committing fornication. Three times before they finally put all the pieces together and said, well, honey, you know, I think we ought to think about getting married. And they said, well, yeah, I guess so. And I said, well, you got to. You got to get married, or you got to stop your situation here before you can become a child of God. You have to decide what's more important, heaven or what y'all got going on here. And you just spell it out plain. And so the next week they went and got a marriage license. And you would have thought that the devil decided, okay, I'm going to stop this. Everything in the world, if you read my report, I spelled it out in the ring. Everything in the world went wrong. Right after they got the marriage license, they were going to go ahead and have this ceremony. Things were going bad. And so finally they said, okay, come over tomorrow night. We'll have the marriage. And so we went over Thursday night, and they performed the ceremony, signed the certificate. Now you're married. You know what's next? Yep, we got to become Christians. We need to be baptized into Christ. So a day or so they had to go to work, and it took a day or so. And then finally they, okay, we're headed over to your house. And then as soon as they hung up the phone rang. It was the hospital. Your mother has just been brought in. She's dying.
They called me back and said, Mom's dying in the hospital. We'll catch you later. So they go to the hospital. And so she was there in the hospital, and she didn't die. But things were working out okay. And so the next week, just about the time they were thinking about being baptized again, his sister was dying in New York. They had to go get on a plane and fly to New York. So they went up there, and she got stabilized and such. And so then they come back and said, okay, Ricky, it's this week. We're going to be baptized this week. And I said, okay, just up to you, whenever you're ready. And so they said, okay, Tuesday, we're coming over. Yeah, you know what's happened, don't you? Soon as they hung up the phone rang again. Your mom's dying. Call the family in. You got to take care of this. And they said, she can die without us. We're going to go be baptized. And they came over and were baptized. And then the next day they called in the family and hospice and all like that. And she died a few days later. But they just put first things first. By the way, the devil hasn't stopped working with them because a bunch of family moved in and is causing all kind of problems in addition. So keep them in mind and your prayers, if you will. Who knows? Sowing a seed today, like on the radio with this family, may end up in this kind of situation. He obeyed the gospel. He's the only one that ever has thrown my back out. He's about 4 inches taller than me, and so I threw my back out when I baptized him. But now he's an elder in the Lord's church. He has already taught dozens and baptized dozens of people into the kingdom of God. Many of his family members. And so now he serves as an elder, as the main man as far as evangelism is going on in Wildercroft in Maryland, right outside of D.C. And so he is, who knows what's going to happen? So the kingdom will grow if we will just be about God's business. God will bring the increase if we just spread His word. Our role is simply to teach the gospel. It's amazing to watch Him work through the efforts that we make. And so, again, I want to say thank you very, very much for your fellowship in making all this happen. I have got a booklet because I just couldn't, I knew wouldn't have enough time. Here's a picture album I'll put in the back that will go through and introduce you to some of the saints there that I didn't have up. And these are your family that you are partly responsible for. And we want to say thank you for making this happen, and may the Lord be glorified in all of this, because we're all in this together. Would anybody like to ask a question? I think we got a couple of minutes. Is that right? Well, thank you. Let's pause for prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Our Lord, our God, and our King Most High, thank you for the privilege and honor to be able to serve you. You are the Lord of the harvest, and we are but your servants. And we pray that we will serve you in a way that will honor you and glorify you. Thank you for letting us be in fellowship and working together in this capacity and serving you as bringing that you are bringing increase into the kingdom. We pray that you will continue to be with us and help us to be able to walk according to your will. Bless this flock, and may much fruit be coming because of our labor together in teaching this lost and dying world. We pray you'll bless every family. Help us all to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.